Good morning. Y'all doing good? You're going to be doing good before this is over with, I promise, if you're not already. I got to tell you, this is an exciting day. I want to talk about it. I got to tell you some announcements, though. Just real quick, couple things that you need to know about. If you were supposed to meet with Mark Hollinsworth today, that meeting's been pushed back till next Sunday after the second service. And then also, I was told to tell you that coming this afternoon to Plunge, bring a lawn chair. If you got extra lawn chairs, bring those too, because some people don't own lawn chairs. I don't think I do. Which I probably won't set much, but you know, bring a lawn chair. And if you're being baptized, wear some type of old shoes, or as I made mention in the early service, back in the 90s, we had what was called the aqua socks. Anybody still got any aqua socks, just out of curiosity? Oh my gosh, two services in a row full of liars. Man, such a disappointment. I'm so hoping somebody wears some aqua socks today, hot pink preferably. But anyway, wear something so your feet don't get cut in case there's any kind of sharp rocks or anything, because it is a creek. It is an awesome place. In fact, some of the footage that you saw there, actually the Drake family, Wade and their two children just getting baptized, that is where we're going to be doing this set. I'm just telling you, you'll love it. You're going to wait. I can't wait. You're going to wait. I can't wait. I'm jacked up right now. Early service, people just lining up to be baptized this afternoon. People coming to Jesus in the early service today. Who knew that God worked that early in the morning? it's awesome, and I'm excited. Today we're talking about baptism. We're taking a two-week break from our study on the book of James, and we'll come back to engage in all that stuff, and we'll finish up the book of James, so fear not if you've been tracking with us on that. But because of today and us doing baptism today, and we just saw it as a great opportunity for us to talk about the two sacraments that we see Jesus really endorse in Scripture and ask us as the church to fulfill. And so we're teaching about those things today and next weekend. And today is baptism. Next weekend will be communion, but today is baptism. So many of you may think, I've got baptism all figured out, and I'm good to go and everything. And I just want to challenge you, even if you've been in the church all your life, that you would just allow your heart to be open to whatever it is that God wants to say to you today, not on my behalf, as I'm not interested in trying to talk you into something today. I'm interested in you hearing from God through His Word today, okay? So just be open to that. Are we still in need of more seats? Are we okay? We all right? They came to me a minute ago saying we were out of seats. So if anybody knows anybody that's got any, might need your lawn chairs next week. I don't know. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of foresee that's seriously probably going to be an issue through the fall. So as you get here, go ahead and scrunch in. Our church is doing nothing but growing, and that's an awesome thing. So just squish in, get lovey-dovey with people you don't know, and then go eat Taco Bell with them. All right. I keep pushing it, don't I? You think I'm getting an endorsement or something? Let me pray for us and let's get into this. God, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you for what you're already doing today. God, I want to thank you for what you're going to do here with us in this service. God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word. God, I pray, Lord, that I would stay out of your way. God, we just love you, and I pray, Lord, that would come through in everything that we teach, preach, sing. God, it's all for you. It's all for your glory, not for ours. Lord, we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. This morning, talking about baptism, one of the things that I get from people every once in a while when the subject of baptism comes up is, what's the big deal about baptism? Is baptism really important? Well, we're going to start the message off right here coming out of the chute with Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And we have what's called the Great Commission. And many of you have studied this before, and a lot of you, if you've grown up in church, may have been a passage that you memorized. If not, if you're just getting into memorizing Scripture, this is a good passage to start with. But Matthew 28, verse 18, and it says this. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So right here, we've got Christ hanging out with the disciples after he's been killed on the cross. He has risen from the grave, and then he's going and he's hanging out with his guys, and they're asking questions, and they're saying, you know, what is it that we're supposed to do? What's the mission? And God, and Jesus, the Son of God, who is God, is giving them the mission. You know, we as Christians are so great at so complicating things at times when it comes to what God has called us to do. I mean, the truth is if you took the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, just those two passages by themselves, where we see Jesus say what we just read, and then also where Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Greatest commandment. Those two things in one. And then we have the Great Commission, which we just read. And I want to go back to verse 19 of Matthew 28. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This is evangelism. This is the heart of our church. This is why we started a church, to reach unreached people. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. In other words, teaching them to believe and follow through with what they read in Scripture. And teaching Scripture as a whole. Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And if we take these passages, we were able to put them back together. And we'll go back to verse 19. But if we took these two passages by themselves, I mean, really, we've got the mission of what it means to be a Christian. Obviously, we've got a lot of other scripture that go to help us in understanding even deeper some of these things. But at the heart, the places to start are in places like this, where we see Christ giving us a mission to carry out who he's called us to be. Verse 19, why is baptism important? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Number one reason baptism is important: Jesus said, do it. All right? Are we good with that? Jesus said, do it. And I'll just be honest with you, that's the bottom line. That's the main thing. We're going to talk about what it means. We're going to talk about, you know, what's the right way to do it. We're going to talk about all those things in a few minutes. But Jesus said, do it. He said, baptize these folks in my name, in the name of my Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit. The book of Romans has for us a passage of scripture that helps to answer the question of what does baptism mean? What's it mean? Where's it going? What's it mean? You like symbolism? There's a whole bunch of symbolism. Paul's teaching us right here in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 1. It says this. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, he's like, you know, should we just keep sinning? Since we've got grace, we can just keep sinning, right? It's okay for us just to sin. And of course, Paul's like, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And what he's saying is that for those of us that know Christ as our Savior, sin is dead to us. We don't have to live in sin. We can overcome sin because of the Holy Spirit. Because God lives within us, he can overcome sin. We can't do it alone, but he can overcome sin. By no means, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Furthermore, Paul is just basically saying, don't use the excuse of God's grace to just keep on sinning. Well, it's okay if I just do it again because God's going to forgive me anyway. That's hypocritical. Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now we're getting into some symbolism here, okay? We got the word baptism thrown in here. For those of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. Now check this out, verse 4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I want you to just, let's just think about the picture of baptism. By the way, you might be here today and you're like, I don't even know what baptism is. That's okay. Baptism is this. Baptism is the opportunity that we have to show the world, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And we do it by publicly being what is called baptized, submerged in water, and brought back out. We're going to talk a little more about even just meanings and all that kind of stuff, because some people are like, well, I've never been submerged in water. We'll get there, okay? Just chill. But in this passage of Scripture, what we're seeing is we're seeing the symbolism of what happens when somebody is baptized. We're seeing that there is death and that there is resurrection, that there is an old life that dies in us and that there is a new life that has begun. Now, it's symbolism. It's not meaning that moment that happens. It is symbolizing that that has happened in your life, that you are a Christian, you want the world to know, that you identify yourself with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ yourself. Say, Chris, is a lot of stuff. It's symbolism, but it's there. God is wanting us to publicly identify ourselves with Him. In doing so, He is glorified, by the way. Verse 5, it goes on, it says, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." We are no longer slaves to sin. You got to understand this. You may be here today. You may not know Christ. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're just like, I don't even think I buy into the church thing. I'm just here to tell you God changed my life, and there's a bunch of other people in here that can tell you the same. But the one thing that really happened upon here on this earth that happened in my life, the moment that I became a Christian, the moment that I gave my heart to Christ, the moment that I received Him as my Savior, was that I was no longer a slave to sin. You hear people, you know, kind of jokingly in our culture, and I saw somebody, I think I saw like an album title to a band or something recently that was, you know, something to the extent of, you know, if I'm not lost, how can I be found or something like that. And I kind of, you know, I'm used to kind of seeing that kind of stuff. And we all see it. We hear it. People say this, what do I need to be saved from? Here's what we got to be saved from. Our sin. Because you got to get this. Our sin deserves death. We get this through the grace of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. That's the grace of God. Something undeserved. Something that we couldn't possibly earn. We'll see Scripture, it talks about that. But, you know, I think for us to understand that what we need to be saved from is our sin. If you're not a Christian here today, if you've never put your life into Christ's hands, if you've never repented of your sin and just said, God, be my Savior, and put your faith in Christ, chances are you're still a slave to sin. Verse 8. Says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Hello. Verse 10, for the death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. You know what that says? It says He only had to do it one time. Jesus only had to die one time. People will say to me, I'll ask them this question. When did you come to Christ? Well, God you know, keeps saving me. I keep getting saved. Listen. Correct theology tells us that Christ only had to die one time to save us one time. You may backslide, you may fall into something, kind of come back to the Lord. I understand that. What you need to understand is that God saves, and when He saves, He saves. the blood was good enough for the whole thing. So, what does it mean? Baptism is the visible declaration that we are Christ followers. That we are Christ followers. It's the visible declaration that we identify ourselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It identifies us, most importantly, with Jesus. When people see someone get baptized, they say, that person belongs to Christ. Back in the day, river ran through the middle of town. Talking about New Testament times here, John the Baptist and the boys out baptizing. And these guys are out baptizing in the river in front of everybody. And people would get baptized even before this was a religious thing. This is just something to show that somebody's life had changed. John the Baptist comes along, says, you know what? There is no greater life change than knowing Christ as your Savior. We should start baptizing people in the name of Jesus. And so he starts baptizing people that have become Christians, which was a slang term back then, meaning little Christ. And the Christians adopted it and were like, well, thank you. Appreciate that. That's kind of what we're going for here. And they start going to John the Baptist to be baptized in front of the city, in the river. So everybody knows I'm a follower of Christ. It's a dangerous thing for some people to do this. But this is what they did. Jesus comes along. Jesus says, hey, John. John's like, whoa. Hi, Jesus. Jesus says, I want you to baptize me. John's like, oh, whoa, whoa, wait just a second here. No, I think you need to baptize me. And he's like, no, this is right. This is right. And this should be done to show that we're not ashamed. This amazing thing took place 2,000 years ago that started, you know, just was this public, and this is a great thing about baptism. This is like publicly living out the Word of God. It is an opportunity for us as believers and anybody else that's around at the time to see God work in somebody's life, but furthermore for God's Word to be preached through an action. Jesus commanded it. So, how's it supposed to be done? This is a big debate. I'm sure you've got some friends and family that probably have some, you know, thoughts on this. And maybe some of you, maybe you come from a background where maybe you didn't get baptized by immersion. Maybe you didn't get baptized in a horse trough or a river or a lake or some pool of a thing in a side of a church or whatever. Maybe you got sprinkled, whatever. What's it all mean? Let me just go to the heart of it. We've got all kinds of scripture that points in all the same direction. Again, I'm not after trying to win you over to my opinion today. I'm after you seeing what God's Word says about it. If you go back to John the Baptist and you go back to early translations of the Bible, you see John the Baptist actually referred to as John the Dipper. This is in a Dutch Bible. I got this and some of the other things I'm talking about out of a book today called Vintage Church by Mark Driscoll. John the Dipper, although you could say, well, you know, that kind of sounds, you know, harsh or, you know, kind of slang or whatever. Honestly, that's a literal term. The word baptism means to plunge. I don't remember us like really looking that up back when we named plunge in 2005. Maybe we did. I don't know. If not, it was just God's divine intervention. Because I'm sure we were just looking for something to name it. Hey, let's call it plunge. But the word baptism means to plunge. It means to dip. It means to immerse in water. Say, so Chris, how do we know? Well, dictionaries. It's pretty simple. We've got dictionaries. They go back. They go back a ways. As a matter of fact, back in the day when this was being written and the word baptism was being used to write these that we now have as books of the Bible, That word was used many times over to describe a ship that had been submerged in water. It had been baptized. Baptism is about immersion. So, Chris, you're getting technical. I'm just teaching the Bible. Here's the thing. A lot of people take different parts of Scripture and make it different things. And again, this is where you're really going to have to be open-hearted if you come from a different background than hearing this particular teaching. But I'm going to show you some things in God's Word here in just a second. But many people in many faiths, well-meaning people, take things like sprinkling and pouring. And they take them from passages of Scripture where we see that Jesus was sprinkled onto, that Jesus sprinkled onto these people, basically his love and that type of thing, and that the Holy Spirit poured out on them. Both situations, neither of which, both situations are scriptural, neither of which are talking about baptism, not even in the realm. And you say, Chris, how do we know? How do we know that? You know, maybe, you know, the whole Christ, you know, sprinkling thing. Listen, it's not talking about him sprinkling us to make a public commitment of our faith in him. It's not talking about that. And if it was talking about baptism, it would say baptism, because that's what he would say. Jesus talked about baptism. I mean, he commanded us to do it. You know, and so part of what I'm teaching you today, I want you to understand. I want to teach you what Scripture says, but I am not teaching you so that I can knock other faiths, and I'm not teaching you so you can knock other faiths. I am teaching all of us what Scripture says so that when we get in these conversations with people, that we know what we believe and why we believe that, why our church believes what it does. I think that's very important. Again, it is not a license for you to go, you got it all wrong. Okay? We good with that? Say, Chris, where's the Scripture on this? All right? If you're taking notes, we don't have these on the screen because I got a few for you. John the Baptist, or the Dipper, pretty close to the Ripper, you know, but John the Dipper, John the Baptist would take people down to the Jordan River. Go to John 3:23 if you want to look at it later. But in that passage of Scripture, you'll see that John went out into the river because there was plenty of room. Now, you don't go way out into the river where there's plenty of room to sprinkle, or probably even to pour. You go on. Mark 1:10. We see at Jesus' baptism where he came out of the water. Acts 8, verses 34 through 39. We have this guy named Philip. He's out doing missionary work. He's telling people about Jesus. Comes along, meets an Ethiopian eunuch. Bet you haven't seen one of those this week. But he runs up on this guy. And this guy's kind of hanging out, and he starts talking to him about Jesus. The guy's actually already reading Scripture. If you read through that whole passage of Scripture, he's reading out of the book of Isaiah, and he's trying to make heads or tails out of it. Philip walks up and says, "Do you understand it?" And the guy's like, "Man, I ain't got a clue what's going on with this. What is this about?" And he starts telling him about Jesus. The guy comes to Christ. They immediately start, they take off in this guy's chariot. He's got a chariot. And they're rolling down the road in the chariot, and they're talking about Jesus and this life-changing thing that has happened in this guy's life. And riding along, I guess somewhere he had taught him about baptism as well, because the eunuch looks over and sees a river and says, "Hey, there's a river. What would stop us from stopping right now and me being baptized?" Philip's like, "Let's do it." They stop the chariot. I didn't do that for the first service. See, and I'm avoiding all hot rod stuff right now, illustrative stuff right now, and I'm going to keep avoiding it. But they stop the chariot, they jump out, they run down to the river, and Philip baptizes this Ethiopian guy in the river. by immersion. Say, Chris, okay, I'm tracking with you. What's it mean? What's it matter? Immersion is the only way that we can be baptized. By the way, it's the only word that means baptism, immersion. But it's the only way that baptism reflects the true death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And us identifying with us identifying ourselves with that is very important to the process of baptism. Say, okay, Chris, you got me. I was baptized as an infant. What about me? Well, we've got another passage of Scripture. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we see in verse 38, and it says, "And Peter said to him, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." That's a revival. I want you to look at something. We see it right there. We don't even have to go back. It talks about it in the beginning of this passage, but to those who received his word were baptized. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think should be baptized? What good does it do to baptize a child? You say, well, Chris, maybe it's a way for a family to lift that child up and to pray for that child and all that. I need you to understand something. That's not what most churches that baptize infants believe. You may say, well, Chris, that's what I believe. I'm telling you what they believe, okay? Many churches that call themselves Christians baptize children, talking infants here, not children that could know, and we'll see children getting baptized today even. But baptize infants that do not know the difference between one thing or another. And they tell these children as they grow up, you've been baptized, you've been saved. You're good to go. All you have to do is grow into being a Christian. This sounds good, except for the fact that it's not in Scripture. This is where people have taken passages of Scripture, like in the Old Testament, and taken things like circumcision, where we see infants being circumcised back in the day of Abraham. But truth is even then, when infants were being circumcised, they weren't being saved. They still had to grow into being followers of Christ and putting their faith in God. A lot of well-meaning people teach this. Here's the danger in it. And I hope that you hear my heart with this. That it makes me angry, but it breaks my heart. And I'm not trying to bash other faiths. But when you teach someone that because of something that happened to them when they were a baby, that they're going to be okay from here on out, you're leading them to hell. It doesn't work like that. We've been reading. It is through the grace of God. It is through repentance. So the question remains, who should be baptized? Someone that has repented of their sin and asked and put all of their faith in Jesus Christ. That's who should be baptized. That's what a Christian is. It's not growing up in church. My daddy was a preacher. It wasn't good enough to get me into heaven. I can't pull off being good enough to get into heaven. You know why? Because I've got sin. And you do too. We need Jesus. We can't take Jesus out of the scenario. We can't take God's grace out of the scenario. When we do, we become a cult. And there's a bunch of Christians calling themselves, a bunch of people calling themselves Christians that truthfully, by the definition of a cult, would be a cult. And some of us come from those backgrounds. And this is hard for some of us to hear. I had people after the first service coming out here and just bawling about what God had spoken to their heart about today with this. And some of them were in this boat. They were right there. And you know what they said? You know, God's leading me to be baptized. Not only that, I'm not sure that I knew Jesus until just a minute ago. And so I prayed, and he's my Savior now. And you may be here in this service today, and you may need to do that. And that's hard for us to swallow because we want to think that we've got it all figured out. And the truth is, it's not hard. It's not something that's so complex. I mean, it is, but we can understand it. God wanted us to be able to understand it. Scripture goes on in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul brings home some serious knowledge for us, and it is so good to see it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says this. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." You know what Paul is saying? You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. There is no good enough. There is having the grace of God in your life. And that starts with repentance. I sense from a lot of believers, people that are Christians, I sense from a lot of them that they don't need the gospel. Now, I don't come out and say it, but you know, kind of go, "Well, we don't need to study the thing about the cross anymore. We kind of got that down, kind of got the whole gospel thing, we're good to go." Well, here's the thing. We need the gospel. Not just people that don't know Jesus need the gospel, but we need the gospel. You want to know why? Because the gospel brings us to repentance. The gospel shows us that we have got to constantly come back and examine our lives, looking for forgiveness from God, constantly putting our sin up on the altar and saying, "God, I need you to help me with it. I can't do it on my own. I'm sorry. Forgive me." The gospel calls us to repentance, and in doing so, continues to help us drive toward being more and more like Christ. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, then the gospel definitely is speaking to you as it spoke to every one of us at a time in our life when we weren't Christians. And it's as simple as this. It's as simple as, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We can't earn it, and we don't deserve it. You say, "Chris, that's hard. That's harsh. We don't deserve it? I mean, you know, come on. Give me something here." I can't. We don't deserve it. Our sin deserves death. Baptism is important to who we are. It's important to identifying ourselves with Christ. Now, I pose another question for you this morning. The question is often asked, "Do you have to be baptized to be saved?" There's a passage of Scripture that many people will take to say that this is true. And it is out of the book of John, chapter 3, verse 5. And we don't have it for the screen. Take notes. Write it down. John 3, 5. But in that passage of Scripture, we see Jesus talking about being born of both water and of Spirit. Many people will take that to mean that, well, you have to be baptized to be saved. You got to be born of water. The literal translation of this has nothing to do with baptism. Jesus is not talking about baptism. Jesus never says that baptism is a prerequisite for us to be saved. We have all kinds of scripture, many of which we've read through just in the last little bit. Did you see just a second ago the whole deal about by grace we are saved? There you go. It's in that alone. God knew that if it were some kind of complex thing, we'd be all over the map. As it is, we'll take a verse like that and we can argue back and forth with Christian friends all day long about born of water and spirit. Born of water is when we're born. We have to be born into this world through a mother, through water in the womb. Being born by the Spirit means that's when the Holy Spirit enters our life, when we have put it on the line. So we do not have to be saved, do not have to be baptized to be saved. It is grace through faith that saves us, and nothing that we can do on our own. So, some of you have one of these wedding ring. This is my wedding ring. I'm taking it off. My wife has seen me take it off. Setting it over there. Guess what? I'm still married. I'm still married. Just because I take my wedding ring off doesn't mean that I'm not married. But I'll tell you this about my wedding ring. I'm proud to wear my wedding ring because it shows everyone in this world that I am married to that beautiful woman over there. You see, our baptism works very much the same way. It is the opportunity that we have to show the world that we are followers of Jesus Christ. You know what happened to me when I was a kid? I went down an aisle. I heard that if I went down an aisle, I would not go to hell and people would be happy. That sounded pretty good to me. I was like, I want some of that. So I came down the aisle. Sure enough, everybody's like, you got eternal life with Jesus. I'm like, woohoo! And then they're like, guess what? You get to get wet now. And I'm like, great. You know, I used to tell my friends, this is what preacher's kids do. It was a lie. I was lying. But I used to tell my friends that during the week when nobody was there, I would go do cannonballs in the baptistry. Here's what happened. I got baptized. I went down an aisle. People were happy. Later on, right before my freshman year of high school, God really spoke to my heart. I mean, just as clear as day, and just made me recognize that I was as lost as could be. And I knew a lot of great church terms and Jesus terms and all that stuff, but I was lost and I needed Jesus and I didn't have a relationship with him. And at that moment in time, I gave my heart to Christ. You know what I did after that? I got baptized. You know why? Because baptism follows repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is the outward of what has happened on the inward. And my first baptism, in my opinion, did not count, and I think according to Scripture, did not count, because I didn't know Jesus when I got it. And there may be a bunch of folks here today, like there was in the first service, that, you know, just if you just honestly said, you know what, I came to Christ at this point in my life, but, you know, maybe this happened, baby, or maybe I've never been baptized. And you're going, well, Chris, it doesn't matter because, you know, it's the wedding ring thing. It doesn't mean I'm not a Christian. You're right. It doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. But it does identify you with being one. And that we've been commanded to do by our Lord and Savior. Last thing, and we'll close with this, and the band will be coming on up. Last night, sitting in my chair, my 3-year-old daughter Gracie comes up, sits in my lap. She does this a lot. She'll come up and sit in my lap, and she's so awesome. And she comes up and she sits down and says, Daddy, tell me a story. And I said, okay, sweetheart, what kind of story do you want me to tell you? And it's always the same. Tell me a story about when you were a little boy. That's the way she says it. And I said, okay. So in my, you know, I conjure up some kind of story about riding my bicycle through town or blowing things up or something. I don't, you know. And later on that night, I'm studying. I studied pretty late last night, as I do many Saturday nights. And I was studying, and there was this movie on. And I'll be honest with you, I was really trying not to even pay attention to the movie. I was really in it because I had so much to cover today. I was just like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this in one service? And this movie, basically, at the core of this movie was all about this father. It doesn't matter what it was or anything, but it was about this father who had lost his daughter, had his daughter taken away from him. And he was in litigation trying to get his daughter back and all this stuff. And just somewhere in there, you know, the movie had been on, but I really hadn't been paying a lot of attention to it. And all of a sudden, just something just kind of clicked with me. And this may sound weird, but I just kind of felt like, you know, I should just kind of stop and pay attention to this. And just, I literally asked myself the question, what would God have to say through this situation? And I looked at that father on the screen. Of course, it's all make-believe, whatever. But I looked at this father on the screen, and I looked at the fact that he's fighting to try to get his daughter back. He's in court, and he's in all these things. He's watching this other family raise his daughter. And I thought to myself, I cannot even imagine what it would be like to have Gracie taken from me. Cannot even fathom what that would be like to go through. And then I realized, that's it. That's why he did it. That's why God sent his son to die on a cross for us. He took the biggest thing that we could possibly understand. Because I'll admit to you, I love a lot of you. I love all of you. But I don't think I could give Gracie up for any of you. God did the one thing that none of us could fathom ever doing. And if you're a parent, you understand it. If you're a child, you can semi-understand it. But at the end of the day, he wanted to do the most extreme possible thing for us as human beings to understand how much he loves us. How much he wanted to do for us by sending his only son to die on a cross. So that we could know him. That's grace, and it's undeserved, and we can't earn it. But I'm telling you here today that if God is speaking to your heart this morning, you better not ignore it. You may think, well, people think I'm a Christian, Chris. I don't care. I would rejoice in the fact that you would be willing to combat what is really happening in your heart and in your life. That you'd quit BSing yourself and that you'd get real with God enough to just for one moment look at him and say, I'm lost. I know you're speaking to my heart. Save me. Here's my sin. I'm sorry for it. I'm putting my faith in everything that you've got. If you're here this morning and that's you, in just a moment, on the other side of that wall in that hallway, me and some other men are going to be waiting just to hang out and talk to you. There is a second person in the room today that we're also going to be out there waiting to hang out and talk with, and that's someone that maybe does know the Lord, but you've never been baptized. And you're thinking to yourself, you know what, this opportunity today sounds like a pretty good opportunity for me to finally just make public what God has done in my life maybe some time ago, maybe last week, maybe yesterday, maybe 10 years ago. But you've just never been baptized. You've never done the simple thing that allows God to be seen and glorified in our lives together as a church and in our community. And so if you'd like to be baptized, we can do it today. Come meet us out in the hallway. If you don't know Christ, you're your own worst enemy. You're the only person stopping yourself from getting out there. All you got to do is pray. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is want forgiveness. If that's you today, if you're in one of those two categories, we would love to see you in the hall. Let me pray for us. God, I don't doubt one bit that you're not moving in the hearts of many people in this room. God, I pray that when the band begins to play in just a moment, God, I pray, Lord, that they would spring out to go talk with someone. God, I pray, Lord, that they would be out there just to, Lord, just willing just to follow you, maybe not even knowing what comes in on the other side of this. God, we don't always understand it, but God, we know when you speak to our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be obedient to following through with that. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to publicly let the world know that we're followers of you. God, I lift up anybody that you're speaking to the hearts of this morning, God, and I know that that's probably all of us. God, do your thing in their heart. Lord, only you can save. God, I pray, Lord, that you would do that in the lives of the people that don't know you, that are in this room today. We love you. Thank you.